I didn't know that all the kids were going to camp today. That is tough. Well, today to us is the Father's Day because it's the first day of the week. And so we're gathered here to honor him and learn from his word. Additionally, in our culture, today is Father's Day because it's the third first day of the week in June. And so there are a whole lot of people today that are spending their time honoring Dad. And often when we get to this day, even though we're here to honor God, we talk about our fathers and we talk about how honorable they are and lifting them up. And there are a lot of good things to say about dads and about fathers. And I know that there are a lot of good fathers who have done a lot of great things in their children's lives. Unfortunately, however, there have been fathers who were not so honorable. I recognize no matter how great our fathers were, there are things that we can remember about them that were not exactly honorable. Even those of us who, like myself, might claim they had the greatest of fathers in the world, even I can remember things that were not so honorable that had a negative impact. And when we think about those kind of things, we have to be encouraged to remember that our fathers were human and struggling in this life just like we are, and yet finding the good that they did and honor them for the good that they did. But I'm not talking about that kind of thing tonight. The fact is, every single one of us as fathers and mothers have made mistakes, and all of our parents made mistakes, and sometimes we have to learn to overcome that, offer forgiveness, move on, and honor them. But there are some who have reached a level of dishonor that makes days like today tough for their kids. And I can't imagine what it's like to have grown up without a father because he left, or to have grown up with a father who is abusive. And every time you come to this day, get to hear just how wonderful dads were when yours wasn't. When I was in college, one of my very best friends at the time told me stories of his childhood. How his father was a drinking, womanizing child abuser. Beat his kids relentlessly and repeatedly. He told me stories of crawling across the living room floor as his father beat him with a bicycle chain. By the way, did I tell you that when that was happening, his father was a gospel preacher? When I lived in Texas, I had the opportunity to hear Marilyn Vanderburr speak, who was Miss America. And she told about her experiences being sexually abused by her father from the time she was 5 until she left home at 18. I've known numerous people whose fathers weren't around at all. The fact is, some fathers simply haven't been so honorable. And I have no doubt that in a congregation of this size, there are some here who experience that. And we often overlook that. And I know that's got to be tough for you. And so tonight I want to talk to you. And I hope I can provide some help and encouragement from the scripture for those whose fathers weren't so honorable. Before we get into that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? God and Father in heaven, we lift you up because you are magnificent and awesome. You are a good father and a loving father. You are what every father should be and what the fathers who are here tonight are striving to be. And we pray that you would strengthen us to be a father like you. Father, I have no doubt that there are those here whose view of fatherhood has been marred by dishonorable fathers. And I pray that you would lift them up and hold them in your powerful and comforting and merciful and benevolent hand. That you would strengthen them, that they might draw close to you and know what it's like to have a good father in you. Father, we praise your name and we love you, and we pray that what we do here tonight brings honor and glory to you. Not to us, not unto our name be the glory, but unto yours. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you grew up with a father who is not so honorable, there are several things that I want to share with you tonight. The very first thing that I hope that I can share with you and that you can learn this evening is that your father's sins are not your fault. Your father's sins are not your fault. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, Ezekiel wrote this: "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." Your father's sins are not your fault. Just as if your father had been the most righteous of the righteous, if his righteousness had been impeccable, you could not claim that righteousness for yourself. In the same way, if your father was dishonorable, it was not your fault. And I know that's hard to hear. Perhaps your father abandoned you. And nobody had to say to you, "Oh, this was your fault." He never even had to tell you that. I know you told yourself that. I know that you've thought, "Well, maybe if I was prettier or smarter or more like him or more manly or more rugged or whatever more you thought it needed to be, you thought that maybe that would bring him back." It wasn't your fault. Or perhaps your father abused you. And he said that he had to because of your sinfulness. And he had to get that out of you. And I'm not talking here about biblically sanctioned discipline. I'm not talking about the kind of discipline that builds up. I'm talking about the kind of abuse that breaks down. And there is a difference. And perhaps he told you that it was your fault that he had to do that. He lied. He was not pursuing God's will in your life. Or maybe there was sexual abuse. And he told you that he just couldn't help himself because you were just so pretty and this is what love meant. Or maybe because you were developing. Or maybe if you were the son, it's not because you were born as a homosexual, as so many who participate in incest end up thinking. It was not your fault. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 makes it very clear. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself. The wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. Your father's sins were his fault, not yours. The second thing I hope you understand is that you were not responsible to make your father stop. You were not responsible to make your father stop. This is a message that so often we hear from those we talk to. Perhaps you finally opened up to somebody and said something to them about the dishonorable nature of your father. And far too many of us, not knowing what to say, are kind of taken aback. And we say things like, "Well, didn't you tell him no? Didn't you ask him to stop?" Brothers and sisters, please understand that if somebody is opening up to you about the dishonorable nature of their father, understand the almost psychological impossibility of a child telling their father to stop. Let's face it, we raise up our children to honor and obey that fella. And we teach them and we train them that they're supposed to listen and supposed to submit. And somehow we think that they're supposed to be so mature as children to know where all the lines are and to be able to control that. It's just not true. But this is not just a psychological matter. It's a scriptural matter. It was not your responsibility to make him stop. In 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Peter says this: "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" This passage isn't telling children to make sure their parents be holy. This is telling you, be holy. This was telling the father, it is his responsibility to be holy. It's not the child's responsibility to make the father be holy. Consider what Paul said as he talked about the family in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4. fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Who is responsible to be the mature one in the father-child relationship? Is the child supposed to be the mature one who figures out how the father is supposed to be behaving? No. It's the father's responsibility to be the mature one, to be the leader, to be the one that is demonstrating holiness. In Proverbs, I believe it's about 22 and verse 15. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, listen to what it says. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. And I understand that this passage demonstrates the positive kind of discipline that needs to take place in the home. What I want us to see is this idea of the folly being bound up in the heart of the child. Let's face it, when we're children, we're immature. We're foolish. We don't know. We don't know the limits and we don't know the boundaries. That's the way God made us. And God gave us parents who are supposed to be fulfilling the role of leader and holiness and guide. When your father did those things to you, it was not your job to make him stop. You were a child. What were you going to do? You behaved as a child behaves. And we, who have not been through that, as we talk to our friends who open up, we need to understand that. Can you expect a 5, 10, or 10-year-old to behave like a mature adult and know how to tell an adult how he's supposed to behave? Of course not. You weren't responsible to make him stop. It wasn't your fault, and you were not responsible to make them stop. It was his responsibility to do what was right. Not your responsibility to make him. So you don't have to bear that. You don't have to carry that with you. It wasn't your responsibility. Additionally, not only is it not your fault, not only were you not the one responsible to make him stop, you are not guilty because of your father's sins. This is especially needed for those who grow up being sexually abused. Because, especially if you were brought up in church, you learned that sexuality outside of marriage is a sin. And so then you think about those times where your father was dishonorable. And it's easy for you to say, oh, I was engaged in that. I was sinning. Now, the scripture doesn't talk to us about sexual abuse of children, but there is a passage that demonstrates a principle that I think helps us out here. In Deuteronomy chapter 22. In Deuteronomy chapter 22. Beginning at verse 23. In Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 23, the scripture says, if there is a betrothed virgin and a man meets her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry for help, though she was in the city, and the man, because he violated his neighbor's wife. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. But if in the open country a man meets a young woman who is betrothed and the man seizes her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. She has committed no offense punishable by death. For this case is like that of a man attacking and murdering his neighbor because he met her in the open country. And though the betrothed young woman cried for help, there was no one to rescue her. Here in this passage we have a demonstration of two different scenarios. One, where we've got fornication. One, where we have a violent attack. And what God was saying, and we need to understand that a city in this context is different than what we think of as a city. I know we think right here we're in the midst of a city. We're in the city of Lutz. That's not what was being talked about here. What's being talked about here is the concept of those ancient walled cities where all these houses are jam-packed up together. They've got mud brick walls. You couldn't whisper next door without somebody knowing what you were talking about. The fact is all the neighbors knew your business back then. And if you were inside one of those cities and you cried out, somebody heard you. It just didn't happen that they didn't hear you because that's the way those cities were designed. The kind of cities we live in are actually a whole lot more like these fields. There are all kinds of opportunities for people to cry out and not be heard. And what's happening when we're dealing with this kind of childhood abuse was that kind of scenario where it was not able to cry out. And you're not guilty just because your father perpetrated a sin on you. You were a victim. And you don't have to feel like you committed some kind of sin when your father attacked you in that way. And you need to remember, it wasn't your fault. You were a child. You behaved as children behave. That's what you did. You are not guilty because of your father's sins. But you need to understand this. Your father's sins in your childhood do not justify your sins today. Your father's sins were not your fault. You were not responsible to make him stop. You're not a sinner because of his sins. But you need to understand that your father's sins are not justification for your sins. In Exodus chapter 20, when God gave the Ten Commandments, in verses 5 and 6, there's kind of a confusing passage here, but it provides a profound point. You shall not bow down to them, it says in Exodus 20, verse 5. I was right, sorry. In Exodus 20 and verse 5, you shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Please understand what this passage is not saying. This passage is not saying that there could be a wicked father whose child is righteous and loves the Lord and fears the Lord and honors the Lord, but God is just going to punish them anyway because he's visiting the sins of the father on the sons. That's not what he's saying. The reality is, back in Ezekiel chapter 18, God demonstrates that there might be righteous sons that come from wicked fathers and vice versa. What God is demonstrating is that the sins of the father often get passed on to the children. And if it goes even to the fourth generation, he's still going to punish it. He's not going to back off from that. And the reality is, according to childhelp.org, 1/3 of abused children grow up to be abusers. It starts a legacy. It's a sad chain. And while we might understand why that happens, it does not justify it. Your father's sins do not justify your sins. And please understand this in two ways. Your father's sins when you're a child do not justify your sins against your father today. In Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's not our place to take vengeance on those who sinned against us. Our father's sins against us do not justify our sins today against him. We should leave vengeance to God. God gets to be the one who judges. God gets to be the one who punishes. And God will, if there is no repentance. But further, we need to understand that our father's sins do not justify our sins against anyone else. Against our own children. You know, the struggle is, even though almost all of us have said at one time or another when we were looking at our parents, I will never treat my kids like this. And I have no doubt that if you dealt with a truly dishonorable father, you had that exact same thought. The problem is, that's what you grew up with. That's the kind of the railway path in your brain that was laid down. And when the stress hits, and when struggles come, oftentimes our guard is let down and we just go back to what we know. And if you were brought up in a home where there was dysfunction and dishonorableness, that's often what you just go back to because it's what you experienced, it's what you know. Please understand that the fact that your father treated you that way does not justify doing the same in your home. does not justify treating others the same way, whether your own children or your spouse or your neighbors or your co-workers. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the very same passage that says that it was your father's responsibility to pursue the Lord and pursue holiness also reminds you that it is your responsibility to pursue holiness. Relying on God. Living for God. Honoring God. Your father's sins do not justify your sins. But I also want you to know, God loves you. And that may be tough. That may be tough as we consider having been brought up by a dysfunctional, dishonorable father. If you've been raised in a family of dysfunction and dishonor, it may be hard to recognize God's love. For two reasons. Number one, because you may just be wondering, if God loved me, how could he have let something so awful and so tragic happen? Especially as a child. And if you want to talk about something that's emotionally tugging at us, let's talk about the abuse that happens to children. One of the most tragic things that happens in our culture and in our world. And I know that if you experienced it, it's probably got to be tough. I know it's tough. If God loved me, why did he let this happen? And the thing that we need to understand is that God loves us, and because he loves us, he's given us free will. He's given us the ability to choose. And the sad thing that comes along with that is the ability to sin. And when people sin, they hurt their victims, no matter their age. And sin doesn't care how old somebody is, it'll hurt them. And we need to understand that doesn't happen because God doesn't love people. That happens because Satan hates people. Because sin hates people. That's why that happens. Understand that God's love is not demonstrated to us by protecting us from pain that happens in the world. God's love is demonstrated to us because he sent his son into this awful, dysfunctional world and allowed him to experience pain and tragedy. In Romans chapter 5, it explains that God loves you. And it shows how we know God loves you. In Romans 5 and verse 6 it says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us." God shows his love for you in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Please understand that God does love you. He sent his son to die for you. And the second reason why it's hard to see God's love is because if you were brought up by an abusive father, by a father that was dishonorable, let's face it, our first image of God comes from the authority figures that we grow up with. Our first view of what God must be like is our father. And if our father abandoned us, if he abused us and hurt us and mistreated us, then the fact is that early impression that has impressed on our minds is that those who are in authority abandon and abuse and hurt, even God. And here's all I can say to you for that. Your earthly father is not God. And your heavenly father is not like your earthly father. It was your earthly father's responsibility to demonstrate to you what God is like. And I am so sorry if you had a father who failed in that. But please do not attribute his failure to the heavenly father. Because as 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says, God is love. And as Psalm 36 verses 5 through 7 says, his love endures forever. please understand. I know you're fighting against years of emotional response to a father figure. Let God break through on that. And remember His Son on the cross for you. Because even though your earthly father failed in his duty, your heavenly Father loves you and has not failed in his duty. And so, if your father was dishonorable, I want to encourage you, take refuge in God. If you were abandoned by an absentee father, it's hard to trust fathers. If you were raised by an abusive father, it's hard to trust fathers. In fact, if you were raised in that kind of environment, if there's anything you learned, is that you can't trust anybody but yourself. And what you probably did was turned inward. And far too often in these kind of circumstances, what happens is one of two things. Either one, because you can't control whatever happened with this father thing, you started pursuing control in every other aspect of your life. Realizing that if anybody was going to get this job done, you were going to be the only one who could get it done. You had to be in control. You had a false facade of bravado. Always having everything under complete control. Workaholic, a manipulator, controlling. You might have even covered up with a show of religious righteousness to prove how much you had everything under control. But like the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, what you were doing was trusting in yourself. Or you might have gone the other way. Recognizing that you weren't in control, you just gave up. And pursued all manner of escape. Drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, binge eating, gambling, spending, all kinds of things. Sins that provided escape that allowed you to step away from the pain and the hurt and the lack of control that you felt. Just giving up. Deciding that if you can't be in control, why bother trying? But in either case, what you were focused on was trusting yourself. Trust God. Psalm 27 that we read earlier in our assembly. It's a wonderful psalm. I want us to highlight specifically verse 10. Psalm 27 and verse 10 says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." My father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Take refuge in the Lord. He cares. He will care. He will carry you through. And He will bring you to heights of glory and allow you to experience a Father's love that you missed out on. Don't let your earthly father steal that from you. Take your refuge in the Lord. As Psalm 18 says, let Him be your rock, your tower, your deliverer, your strong and mighty fortress. Don't turn to the escapes and don't trust in yourself. Turn to God. He will care for you. He will help you. He will comfort you. Sometimes fathers weren't so honorable. But please understand, God is always honorable. I have no doubt. I have no doubt that there are folks here who experience dishonorable fathers. I'm sorry. But I want you to know that I am so glad you're here. Because this is where you need to be. This is where you can meet the real, true, loving Father. This is where you can find fathers that God has blessed you with. And I just have to say, I don't know of any specific case, because if I did, I wouldn't be hiding behind this pulpit. I would be going to that person individually. But with the statistics the way they are today and the number of people I'm looking at, I have no doubt, or little doubt, I should say, that there might even be somebody in this audience tonight who's not being a very honorable father. And what I want to encourage you to do, start being one. You need to talk with your shepherds, and you need to get some help. And I know it'll be embarrassing. And look, if you've done some of the things we've talked about tonight, it might even mean jail time. But brothers, I'm going to tell you, you'd rather spend some years in jail than eternity in hell. And what you want is to overcome this sin. And so I encourage you, go to your shepherds and let them guide you with some help to overcome. And let that legacy of dishonor stop with you. Would you pull out your songbooks, please? If you're going to be using a songbook tonight, number 945, Kneel at the Cross. There's two things that I want to say here as we wrap up and as we offer the invitation. Number one, if you were brought up by a father who's not so honorable, probably you've thought of yourself as an awful person. A person who probably couldn't be forgiven. A person who probably couldn't be loved. You've spent years blaming yourself. And even sometimes when you told other people, they said things that you thought they were blaming you. I know you've committed sins too. But your father's sins weren't your fault. And Jesus died for your sins. So no matter how bad you think you are, I want to encourage you. Turn to the Lord. He'll take care of you. And the second thing I want to say is, if you've been a dishonorable father, God will forgive that. I can't promise you that your kids will. That's a hard thing. I don't always know what to say about that, but I can tell you God will. And He sent Jesus to die for that sin as well. And I want to encourage you tonight, no matter where you are, whether it's the sins we've talked about in this sermon or some other, if you need help, if you want to overcome, if you want to enter Jesus Christ and have your sins washed away in baptism, we encourage you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.